Good morning and welcome to Manna on Monday. I'm Pastor Ron here at Lighthouse. Excited that you've chosen to join me, no matter what day it is. But we're going to pray and we're going to jump back into where we left off in Proverbs chapter 28, beginning in verse 17. And so I think you're going to be blessed. Lord willing, my prayer is that you're going to be blessed. And so that's why we need to pray when we get into the depth of this message. So let's pray. Father, there is much that you speak through your word that we have to slow down and listen and meditate, chew on it, if you will. And as we do, Lord, that nourishment begins to come. And so we so appreciate the depth of your word and the treasure of your word that speaks to us about your heart of love toward us in profound ways, and grace that you've made available to us, and of course your mercies. And so we ask for the blessing of your spirit to direct our time, but Lord, to speak to us. We say, yes, Lord, let me hear you today. Thank you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. So, hey, we're going to look at Proverbs chapter 28, verses 17 and actually 18, because those two verses go together, and Lord willing, you'll be able to see how those two fit together. But let's read them first, and then we're going to jump into considering the message or messages that we have from them. Verse 17, if one is burdened with the blood of another, he will be a fugitive until death. Let no one help him. Whoever walks in integrity will be delivered, but he who is crooked in his ways will suddenly fall. And so you might be asking me, Ron, how do those two fit together? Well, let's look at some of the application and single interpretation, but applications can be different. And so what is one of those applications? Well, the first application is the one that we know, where someone takes the life of another person. They become a fugitive until death. And in this case, it says, let no one help him. But in God's word, in Numbers, so this is the Pentateuch, so this is the time of Moses, that we're getting this instruction. God provides for those that have taken the life of another due to an accident, something that's not intended, but it's like that they have the right to be able to flee to and get to what was called a refugee center, a place where they could live, and they would have to live right within the city. They couldn't leave the boundary, because if they left the boundary, then whoever the avenger was could come and take their life. He could avenge a blood for blood, right? But there was a stipulation that said they had to stay in that city, and they were vulnerable to the avenger until the death of the high priest. Then they could go free. But if you step outside the city, like I said, you're vulnerable, and the avenger can take avenge. And so that's how God worked it. And so that's what we see here, that's saying, hey, you know, you're a refugee or a fugitive until death, and let no one help him. It's like nobody could help you. There was a city that was set up, so in essence, there was a place of help, but it was more of a confinement. And then, of course, it says, whoever walks in integrity will be delivered. That says, man, when you're walking in a place where you're not pursuing, you know, if you will, the life of another person, then, you know, you don't have to worry about it. As compared to those that are crooked or perverse in your ways, you know, that you're going to make a mistake. You're going to blow it again, and the fall will be sudden. But that's not the only application. And the application that really ministers to my heart is one that I believe is rich with spiritual application, referring to Jesus. Because as it says, if one is burdened, or if you will, judged with the blood of another, then he will be a fugitive until death. Let no one help him. Well, for us, Jesus was burdened or judged not for his own sin, but for ours, for the sin of another. And he became the fugitive. He was a fugitive, if you will, to this earth, because this is not his home. And that there was an avenger. There was one who was saying, man, I'm going to avenge, you know, my hatred towards you, death upon you. I don't want you to have freedom to roam and to influence mankind. And that would be Satan. And of course, we know that Jesus was killed outside the city, that he was killed on a cross. And he was beaten, but yet it was outside the city that he had to go up to this place called Calvary, where he was nailed to a cross. And of course, no one was able to help him until the death of the high priest. Well, he was the high priest. And so he was the one who walked in integrity. There was no sin in him. There was truth, there was love. And so because of that, since there was no sin in him, he was the acceptable sacrifice for us. And it could only be accomplished by him. He was the one that was the deliverer by his power. So, and there was no, you know, for us that are guilty and we know that we're guilty, what we do is we try to justify our innocence, you know. There was no defense either, as a sheep was led to the slaughter, as it's described in Isaiah 53:7. There was no defense. He offered no defense. There was no deflection. Yeah, but what about them, you know? What about what they've done? There was nothing like that whatsoever. No integrity is something that God has. But when does integrity truly begin in men? Well, I think the integrity of eternity begins with men at the moment of conviction of a man. When a man chooses to acknowledge the truth about who he is and that he cries out for Christ and for his forgiveness, it's truth that sets him free. It's truth that continues to keep him free. It's truth that sanctifies him, meaning it sets him apart from being guilty, that I'm covered by the blood of Jesus, I'm covered by the one who was burdened for me, I'm no longer guilty, and so I'm separated from sin, but I am drawn towards the love, the grace, the mercies of God, and I'm walking in truth. And then, of course, it says in John 17:17, that thy word is truth. And, of course, we know the very specific application of that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, as we find in John 1:1, and in verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. God communicates through Jesus. He is God's communication. And thy word is truth. It's his word that separates us. It's his word that sanctifies us. He is the one that separates us. He is the one that sanctifies us. So integrity for us begins at that moment. And when we come to a conviction of asking God for forgiveness for our wrongs, recognizing that he was the high priest that died for us to be able to set us free. And so when we surrender to Jesus, we are delivered. The perfect example of that is the acknowledgement of the thief on the cross. When he's listening to Jesus say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. When he sees this love for this woman and this response to this friend of his that says, hey, take care of my mom, and mom, my friend is going to take care of you because I trust him. And of all the things that Christ said, and finally he says, it is finished. The work is done. There isn't anything else that man or anybody else needs to do. This is totally him. The high priest could only do that. That the thief is listening to all of that, and he says to Jesus, Lord. So at first he acknowledges who he is. Remember me when you come into your kingdom. Well, the kingdom was going to be a kingdom not of this earth, but of heaven. And of course, Jesus responds to him and he says, today, that day, you will be with me in paradise. And so that's the faithfulness of God being able to say to a man who is surrendered as he acknowledges him as Lord of life and that he wanted to be a part of his kingdom. And so that's the kingdom that is available to us from our high priest that was burdened for us, that was a fugitive, if you will, until death, and no one came to help him, but he walks in integrity and he will deliver. But the one who is crooked, if we follow the ways of the world, if we follow our ways, we're going to suddenly fall, and that destruction is going to be great, and it's going to be eternal. So we have a choice, and my hope is that you'll choose the one that was burdened for you, the one that was burdened for me, and he died for us on that cross, but he rose 3 days later, and he's alive, and that's who we believe in, is a God who loves us, and he's alive, and he conquered all of our greatest challenges that we have in life, that we can trust him. So God bless you, and thank you for joining me today. I look forward to seeing you next week.